Well, in every form of competitive activity, it all moves forward to the same end, recognizing a first place winner. So sports seasons and sports tournaments go that way, art competitions or cooking competitions, even 4-H projects. Outstanding, 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 trophy, outstanding. There's still a first place in there. Board games end with a first place winner, and if you grew up with siblings, that may have ended in despair and frustration. But that's how they go. Every form of competitive activity, it moves forward to the same end, recognizing a first place. What does first place mean? Well, it means the best. It means the most distinguished. It means the greatest work among all peers. First place outside of the competitive, it can mean some of those same things. The nuance doesn't change a whole lot. It can mean first in priority or first in rank. Of all a person's values or deciding factors, maybe, this is the one that's most important. This is one that's first place for them as they think through decisions and values in the course of their life. It has first place in the matter, whatever that matter may be. So when we are looking to purchase something we need, perhaps the family car broke down and you need to go find a new to you used one, or maybe it's looking for a home, or maybe appliances, the same thing, or maybe it's shoes for the kids for the new school year. There will be something that is of most importance. It must be a vehicle that has third-party reviews of reliability, maybe. Or it must be a home that has so many bedrooms. Or maybe the new appliance must match the other appliances already there. Or those new shoes for school have to have the extra room in case these kids keep growing. There's something that will be first importance. Other factors matter, but there's something that trumps all the others. This one has to be met, even if some of the other ones don't quite fit. Wisdom requires this, doesn't it? Wisdom requires that we have a first place priority for just about any decision that we make. So question, what is your first place? Of all those first place possibilities, of all those different decisions and different factors and different circumstances that could change that, all the potential first places for you, what is the first place? Maybe it's family. Maybe it's security, financial security, physical security. Maybe it's having a good reputation or a good name in the community. Maybe it's avoiding people at all costs. Nobody amen that. You're at church, don't amen that. Maybe it's living your life and being left alone from anyone else's drama. Maybe that's first place for some. What is your first place above all other first places? What's your number one? What rules your life above everything else? I think that question matters. Would you agree? If we have the right first place, I think we could be on the best path. But if we have the wrong first place, then all those areas of decision-making and values that shape a course of a life, I'll even kind of play some cards that shape the course of a church's life, will be distracted. It's going to get off track. That train's going to derail eventually. The first place, it matters. So what's your number one? What rules your life above everything else? This year, our theme has been to know the Word, and it has a double meaning. We want to know the Word, as in the Scriptures. We want to know what the Bible says and how the Bible works together. It's how we started our year exploring the storyline of the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation, getting those mountain peak moments, as well as just how all of this fits as a unity, a cohesive whole, with the singular author being God alone, supremely. But that, know the Word, it does have a double meaning. We also have reference to John 1, where we are told that the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, is the Word. And we want to know the Son. We want to know Christ. We want to know Him. And so we started exploring that way, and And now we're here in Paul's letter in Colossians. Lately, where we are is the text that was read for us this morning is this hymn, this early church confession of faith, verses 15 to 20. And we've slowed way down here because we have reached one of these plateau moments, one of these exalted moments where the Bible makes clear some of the highest truths of Christ, of who He is. And we want to learn of Him. This morning, our attention turns to verses 17 and 18. And these verses, as we've talked about before, I'll mention this some as we go to together, they form a bridge from verses 15 and 16 and then 19 and 20. It's kind of a complicated thing. You can break the these verses down, 15, 16, 17, and then 18, 19, 20. And here 17 and 18 are kind of a bridge. They function on one end and then they function on the other end as well. And this bridge teaches us something. The first place above all first places is a person. The question is, who is first place? Who ranks first? The Bible uses a word here in the English Standard Version. It's the last word of verse 18. The Bible uses a word here that is not used anywhere else. And it is this word, preeminent. Preeminent. It means first place, first in rank, above all others. So the Bible tells us right here who is first place. The answer, Christ Jesus the Lord. He and He alone is first place. He alone is preeminent. Therefore, Colossians 1, 17, 18 drives home a point for you and me today. You and I must make Christ first place in every area of our lives. You, friend, and me as well, we must make Christ first place in every area of your life. How do verses 17 and 18 instruct us here? Well, it does so in two primary ways. First, Christ is preeminent over creation. Number one, Christ is preeminent over creation. Again, verse 17 connects, it kind of summarizes 15 and 16, kind of, we can kind of say, and it's connected, and it plainly declares Christ is first place over all of creation. First here, He is before creation. Verse 16, a couple Sundays ago, teaches us that God the Son is the agent of creation. The work of creation in Genesis 1, who is the agent within the Godhead, the Trinity, it is God the Son. All things exist because God the Son, in perfect unity with the one will of the triune God, He created them. All things have been created by the Son, through the action of the Son, and for the purpose and glory of the Son. That Christ is before creation has a double meaning as well. It means that Him having no beginning or end, the Son truly does exist before all of that has been created. Before anything was spoken into existence, before anything that is ever was, there is God the Son in full glory and full existence, no beginning, no end. But this also means, as we thought about a couple Sundays ago, that the Son ranks higher than creation. He's before. He has a higher rank, and His higher rank is before all of creation. Pick something in creation, the Son ranks higher. Anything and everything. He is preeminent. Just as the painting is not greater than the painter, or the novel is not greater than the author, so creation does not rank higher than its creator. He alone ranks supreme. He alone possesses that place. Christ Jesus is first place. He is preeminent. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we must make Christ first place in every area of our lives. Why? because he ranks higher than everything in our lives. He ranks higher than governments, than elections. He ranks higher than medicine and education and hobbies. He ranks higher than human relationships, the environment, technology, and all knowledge. He ranks higher than it all because he has created it all. His rightful place in your life is first, preeminent. A second idea under here, Christ is preeminent over creation. He is before creation, but then secondly, he is sustaining creation. Not only is Christ before creation, but he is sustaining creation. Verse 17 makes this plain. In him, all things hold together. This is an amazing, amazing idea. Christ not only is the agent, the by him, through him, for him, he holds it together. Creation continues to exist by the active will and work of Christ Jesus the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is nothing else that we need dependence on to hold things together. It is Christ and Christ alone. Growing up as a good child of the 90s, I grew up in what I consider one of the greatest eras of children's cartoons. And some of my favorite of those cartoons were, of course, superhero cartoons. And we may have some disagreement. We can nerd out after the service, if you will. But my favorite superhero is Superman. I love Superman. He has all the best abilities. He's got all the right character, willing to do whatever is needed in any time's need. Well, you might not be familiar with this, but in the cartoons and comic books and all this kind of stuff, there are various people with the title Superman. Different names, different, we could even say it's a multiverse. There's all these different supermen, supermans. I was going to say supermans. Supermen who bear the name Superman. In just one of these iterations, Superman encountered a problem where the sun was beginning to fail. Superman himself, I'll spare you all the details, he becomes solar radioactive. Superman enters the sun and by his own power keeps the sun functioning so that all life on Earth would be sustained. In a fictional story, that's pretty heroic, right? Friends, that fictional thing, a being entering the sun, his whole existence now in the sun to keep us alive, is just, it's a drop in the bucket of the reality of God the Son holding all of creation together. A hymn we sing often at Christmas time, God Made Low, has this line. Hope I can quote it. As he sleeps upon the hay, he holds the moon and stars in place. It stretches the mind. We can't grasp these truths. God the Son holding all things together. Who guides asteroids and oversees the birthing of new stars? Who keeps the sun rising and setting? Who maintains the gravitational pull of our sun and the rotation of the earth? Who holds the oceans and keeps them in their boundary? Who keeps the subatomic particles together in the cell, in the atom? Who holds your life together when it seems to fall apart? The answer to every one is Christ. Christ, Christ. Christ holds creation together. Christ sustains life and creation. Therefore, brothers and sisters, he must have first place in your life. As the pastor R. Kent Hughes has written, he must have first place in everything. First place in our families, first place in our marriages, first place in our professions, first place in our mission and ministry, first place in matters of the intellect, first place in time, first place in love, first place in conversation. First place in pleasures, in eating, in play, in athletics. First place in what we watch. First place in art, in music, in worship. Let us give him first place. Amen? first place. Christ is preeminent over creation. He must have first place in every area of your life. And second, Christ is preeminent over redemption. Christ is preeminent over redemption. Verse 18, again, these two verses forming a bridge in this passage. Verse 18 leading us to 19 and 20. And here 18 introduces the ideas of verses 19 and 20. Christ is supreme over redemption. Well, how? How is Christ supreme? How is he preeminent over redemption? Again, two ideas. He is the source of redemption. Christ is preeminent over redemption because first, he is the source of redemption. At the beginning of verse 18 here in the ESV, and he is the head of the body, the church. Christ as the head of the body, which is the church. A human body cannot survive without the head. The head with the eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, and the functions of the brain controls, guides, and governs the rest of the body. Christ is the ruling, guiding, governing head of this body, the church. For all born-again Christians everywhere, other churches in our own community gathering together right now, preaching Christ, preaching the gospel, Bibles opened, Bible-believing Christians all across the world who gather together and worship the Lord, Christ alone is our head. He governs, he guides, he rules over. So a very plain application from that, if Christ is the head of the church, you and I are not. We are not. He is. And we are part of his body that he has made. Without Christ, there's no church. Without Christ, there's no local church like Calvary Baptist Church here in Coshocton. Christ is our head. And that this church stands today means Christ has been the head of this church. And as long as God tarries, as long as God has us here, he will remain that. He is in charge. We are inseparably connected to Christ. He gives us our life. He gives us our purpose. He binds us together, as our testimony shared this morning. What places a bunch of ragamuffins like us together in a church body? It's Christ. It's his goodness. It's his glory. He is what binds us together. Not shared interest or shared upbringing or stage of life or any other category we could come up with. It's Christ alone. And notice the emphasis on the whole body connected to Christ. We often think of our Christian life individually. Maybe even this morning, maybe there's one gathered here today, and this morning you kind of wrestled, do I go to church today or do I not? We really chowed down on that delicious church family picnic last night. Maybe an extra hour of sleep would do me good, or we just kind of wrestle. And it's normal. That's how we go about that. It's our individual relationship with the Lord. We read the Bible. We pursue the Lord. But the Bible never skips a beat with this. The Bible always talks about the Christian's relationship to God as the body of Christ, as the community of believers together. My faith in Christ and pursuing my faith in Christ matters to my brothers and sisters, just as yours matters to the body as well. The picture is a body, members together. So this is very important. Fundamentally, who are you, Christian? Fundamentally, who are you? You are a member of the body of Christ, of which he is the head. You are a son or daughter of God through saving faith in Jesus Christ alone, by his grace received by faith. And in that, you are a member of the body of Christ, Christ alone, being the head of that body. He is the source of that redemption. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Christian, you must make Christ first place in every area of your life. First, if you are a member of the body of which Christ is the head, he loves the body. And as this is Christ's body, then it matters how we treat Christ's body, right? It matters how we treat one another, how we speak to one another, how we speak about one another. Well, because of so-and-so, I'm going to a new church, maybe we've heard or thought. Still part of the body of Christ. So brother or sister departs one church, goes to another church, still part of the body of Christ. Still members of the body together. That does not exempt us. Christ must be first place in your life, and that means he must be first place in how you relate to the body of Christ. Not even just your local church. But second, rejoice. Christ is the source of redemption, not anywhere else. Praise the Lord for that. Do you think about that, Christian? We don't have to go looking. As we mentioned in Sunday school's class, and oh, it's overwhelming, the self-help book section, online booksellers, or if you go to a bookstore, are we clamoring to try to figure out the way to eternal life? By God's grace, you have it, brothers and sisters. Christ is the source of redemption. The search is over. It's Jesus, and he's yours by his grace through faith. Praise the Lord that he alone is that source of redemption, and praise the Lord that he has brought that close to you. Finally, then, this morning, the second point of our second point is that he not only is the source of redemption, he is the sure hope of redemption. Christ is the sure hope. Verse 18 continues, he's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. We've already covered, as Paul is using with that word firstborn, the first place, ranking first. And here in this context, Jesus truly is the first to be raised from the dead. The resurrection secured in the gospel, secured in Christ. That resurrection morning as he arose. Think back with me for a moment, back early on this year as we were beginning that study of the storyline of the Bible. So way back in Genesis, this is familiar for most of us, but way back in Genesis, and we think of Adam. And Adam there, he eats of that fruit, Adam and Eve together. But the Bible teaches us that Adam was functioning as a representative for the whole human race. Everyone in Adam sinned with Adam and is guilty in Adam. If you're a human being today, when Adam fell, that was our fault too. And we're born with that sinful nature. We are in Adam because we're part of the human race. But the Bible teaches us another parallel. The Bible also teaches us that all who are in Christ receive the blessings of Christ. Those who trust in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of their sins and the hope of eternal life, they receive Christ. They receive resurrection. They receive glorious eternal life. Christian, praise the Lord for this. Because Christ rose from the grave, the first to do so, he secures the hope of resurrection for all who trust in him. It means that when you trust in Christ by faith, you are now in Christ. He died, you died. He was buried, you were buried. He arose, you arose. He ascended to glory, one day you will ascend to glory as well. Your whole identity to your core has changed. Fundamentally, who you are has changed. Your age is not your fundamental identity. Your upbringing, your money, your hobbies, those are not your fundamental identity. Your work history, your abilities or diminishing abilities do not define you. Your identity, Christian, is found nowhere else but in this, in Christ Jesus, your Savior. That's who you are. I am a Christian by the shed blood and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That, Christian, is who you are. So, brothers and sisters, why would we choose anything else? Make Christ first place in every area of your life. He is the sure hope of your redemption. Don't hold back. Don't get parts of life that he can have some of those, but I got some of this, okay? And reserve some of it. You are in Christ, Christian. He is your sure hope. Therefore, make Christ first place in your life. If we're honest with ourselves, there are many competitors of what or who will be that first place for you. What ranks first place? What honestly ranks first place in your life? What trumps all other factors and determiners? It must be Christ. He is preeminent over creation. He is preeminent over redemption. He is preeminent over you and me and this church and all of Christianity and powers and rulers and kingdoms and regions and this planet and this solar system and this galaxy and the universe. He is preeminent. I think I have a slide for this. As Abraham Kuyper has famously said, there is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. So Christian, don't flounder with anything else in first place. That seat, there's a name on it, and it says Christ. It's His. In every area of your life, it's His. So Christian, Christ is preeminent over all things. He'll be preeminent over your life. That's His place. Surrender your heart. Worship Him. Make Christ first place in every area of your life. Father, thank You for Your word this morning and the preaching of Your word. And Father, now as we bring this service to a conclusion, would Your blessing be on Your people through Your word. Amen.